We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's going on, Virtually Limitless Entrepreneurs? It's your man Trey Carmichael here. It's been a while, but I'm coming back at you. I'm here with my girl Justine Mader today. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself for the people who haven't heard of you?
Hi guys, thanks so much for having me on here, Trey. I'm so excited to be with your Virtually Limitless group here. It's just been amazing to connect with you online as an internet entrepreneur, and just so excited for everything. So for those of you that haven't heard of me and don't know me, like Trey said, my name is Justine Mader, and I am an online life and business coach. I empower others to initiate change in their life and business and live according to their priorities. Oftentimes, you know, we get caught up in life and business, and as entrepreneurs, we are both life and business. Like, we're the heart of everything, and so it's really hard when your foundations aren't solid and you don't necessarily maybe have boundaries or, you know, limits on your relationships with your clients, and you don't have some of those core foundations set to serve you. And so one of the biggest things that I'm passionate about is making sure that you, the entrepreneur, is set. And you are able to become the best version of yourself, because then you're able to be that person for your clients, for your future business partners, and for your friends and family as well, without sacrificing, you know, your heart and soul and just draining yourself in all ways possible, because, you know, it's hard. And Trey can tell you, and I'm sure you've heard from everything, you work hard as an entrepreneur. It's not an easy road by any means, and it's not for the faint of heart. But if you can come up with, and what I try to help implement with my clients is, those set foundations that serve you and what your needs are in your life and business to live according to your priorities, that's where the transformation takes place. And that's where the magic can occur in both your life and business, because things are in alignment and you're serving yourself to be that best version of yourself. So that's what I'm super passionate about. Being an entrepreneur has just been an adventure for me, and one that I wouldn't trade for the world. But always learning, always growing. And that's how, kind of how Trey and I met. We've seen each other online, and we've both been just really trying to take action in both our life and business. And when you're on that same vibe, you really can't help but notice other people that are doing the same thing. So it's just been super awesome to get to be a part of Trey's world and his community as well. It's just really been awesome.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And that's really a beautiful thing. And doing what the majority of us do, we definitely have a tendency of getting caught up in helping other people before we help ourselves. And
yes,
that doesn't really get you very far, and we end up burning out. So I love that that's really what you're focusing on. So what brought you here? Like, what's some of your backstory that brought you to doing this specifically?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I actually never envisioned myself as an entrepreneur. That was not, that's not in my family. That's not something that's super popular in my friend circles. And so it was one of those things that actually my life took a huge turn in 2019. I got married in 2018 and had my first child in February of 2019. I was in that 9-to-5 grind. I had to work up to the day that I had my son for the insurance. It's just kind of where we were financially, and that's just kind of how things happened for me. I was sick the entire pregnancy, but I kind of prayed for it, because we actually lost our first one, unfortunately. But I, you know, with prayers being answered and God being gracious to us, we were blessed to have Griffin, which is our son, in February of 2019. And that whole experience of being pregnant and being super sick just built my character. I didn't understand it at the time. And it was just, unfortunately, it was one of those things that you never really understand. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? But it made me such a stronger individual because I had to fight through it because I wanted to have the future that we were trying to build. So the financial stability, but I also was ready to take on this crazy adventure of parenthood and have my son as well. So when my son was born, I quit my job and I actually had severe depression and I had chronic pain due to complications after the birth and a couple of great other things that just, you know, life happens. And I'm sure there's other moms and other couples that can relate to so much of this, even as an entrepreneur. But in that space, within a month after having my son, my husband was relocated for work. Monday through Friday, he was away from the home. And so I went from being a full-time licensed dental assistant. That was my field. So I'm one of those crazy dental people that nobody ever wants to see. But I'm super passionate about dentistry. They changed my life. My smile was not like this. So they totally changed my life and confidence. But I went from being a full-time dentistry professional to being a stay-at-home mom and then almost like a single mom. My husband is very supportive, so I'm in no way a single parent, but he wasn't there because he was taken out of the house for work. So I fell into that depression and I had to focus on what I was passionate about and what really made me happy. My husband wasn't responsible for my happiness. My son was not responsible for my happiness. I had to realize that I needed to start building that within myself again. And so the biggest thing that I recalled was when I was working, I loved being a part of my patients' lives and helping people and caring for people and being involved in what they were working on and, you know, asking questions and seeing their lives transformed through the care that we provided. So I was like, how can I do that with the internet? I didn't know how it's going to work, but I knew I had to be virtual because I stayed home to care for my son, right? And so I was like, there's got to be a way. So I was that crazy person that started asking random people on Facebook, okay, so you say you're an entrepreneur. What does that mean? What do you do? There are so many people that are entrepreneurs and you're all doing totally different stuff. How does that even work? I was clueless, Trey. It wasn't even funny. I had no idea. Absolutely no idea. I didn't know what podcasts were. I didn't know courses were a thing. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know Facebook ads were like, literally, I was so clueless. Literally the most green entrepreneur that ever existed. But I started. And so I started with these questions and I ended up taking the One Funnel Away Challenge, hearing about that and being like, well, what is this crazy thing? And it just opened my eyes to the fact that there's so much out there and so much opportunity to share not only your expertise, but really the gifts and talents that you were given by God to share with the world. And whether that was to impact people's lives or businesses, I was like, wow, I could really do something. And so that started in April of 2019. And then I was like searching, doing self-education, being like, there's got to be, I've read so many books, listened to so many podcasts, you know, Dean Graziosi, Tony Robbins, Jenna Kutcher's a favorite one of mine, Jennifer Allwood's another, like I could list off several that I followed and tried to learn from and, you know, digested all the free content I possibly could. And then I found myself joining a virtual team. And for those of you that don't necessarily know what a virtual team is, oftentimes virtual teams support entrepreneurs that have either agencies or are working on something that they need to focus their superpower on something else. So they have a team that they delegate to. Super great and awesome for the first part, but some of the ethics and ways that they were handling things was just not in alignment with who I am. So versus, you know, it was in no way my place to run their business or change things. I was like, you know what, it's best for me just to take myself out. And that opportunity allowed me to commit to myself. So as of August 2019, I committed to starting my own journey and being my own entrepreneur. I was freaked out as heck because I didn't know the heck of what I was doing. So I actually did hire my own coach. And I found myself just really digging into who I was trying to become and who I was trying to serve. And I found myself actually being asked to coach. And I was like, I never thought I could be a coach. And I kind of had a negative association with the word. And we've talked about this before, Trey, where I was like, everybody calls themselves a coach. How do you know who's a coach and who is not a coach anymore in this world? And so I talked to my coach about that. And I was like, how do you, and he's like, it's within you. He's like, anyone that knows you is going to know based on the value that you provide, the results that you provide, that if, you know, other people are claiming to be coaches, you can't worry about them. You can only control yourself. And that really hit me, was just the fact that I'm in control of my destiny and my brand is nobody else's brand. If I provide results for my clients, then I can claim that title as a coach. And I was like, okay, I'll commit to that. Then I don't have to worry about anything else. So I did. And it was transformational, Trey. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the opportunity of seeing, you know, the amazing opportunities for my clients and seeing them transform from, you know, being broken or burned out to actually being thriving again and being excited about what they were doing. Or for some people too, it was realizing that their client or their target client, you know, we have our certain people that we try to serve, had changed because they had changed. And being like, you outgrew that person. That's not a negative. That's a positive. You're growing into this better perversion of yourself, and to help them have that breakthrough is something that, I don't know, words can't even describe. And so that's the journey that I've been on. So it's been in a very evolving journey as an entrepreneur. I don't think you ever know exactly what's totally going on, but the fact that you take action is where you're actually allowing that opportunity to succeed. When you stop, you're stopping yourself from succeeding. If you are able just to at least take one more step, what's the next best step towards your vision, your goal, continuing that why, continuing that mission? That's where the magic takes place. And so that's been my journey so far, still evolving, still learning, still growing, but that's where I have found myself. And I couldn't be more grateful for the opportunities that have come my way and just so much more coming in 2020.
That's so awesome. And I love that you leaned on the fact that you getting started and actually doing it. Like, that's the majority of people don't.
I know. And it breaks my heart, because when you don't start, that means the other people that need what you have, like all the amazing things that you do, Trey, if you didn't show up in the world, how many people's businesses, how many people's lives would be negatively impacted because you just didn't start? You didn't know where to start, so you just didn't do anything. Like, that breaks my heart. That makes me like, oh my gosh, guys, you can't stop. Like, no, you can't do this. And so sometimes I feel like I want it more than them, but it's because I can see it. And so to try to give them that vision and be like, you know what, it's actually not all about you. People need you to show up in this world, because maybe, you know, your showing up gives them the courage to do it. And it creates like that domino and ripple effect where it's like, so many other people are impacted. And that's the power of the internet. I mean, we're connecting from states away, for goodness sakes, but we're showing up in a way that hopefully will encourage other people to show up in, you know, their life and business in ways that will positively impact other people. And that's just, I don't know, that's what makes me just like my heartbeat. And it's just, it's amazing to be a part of that world and that lifestyle. And I'm sure that's the same for you with the transformations that you provide in people's businesses as well.
Absolutely. It's exactly why I do it. And honestly, just thank you so much for sharing your story with me. Like, you are an incredible human being, and I'm grateful to have met you.
Oh, likewise. Likewise.
So you mentioned a little bit, but on your journey, did you have many roadblocks that were involving anxiety or depression or mental health or any of that?
You know what? I hit depression really hard after my son was born. I'd never had depression before. I did not know what it was. I don't know that I had as much anxiety, but I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, everything I knew changed. Everything I knew changed. And now I was responsible for this tiny little human being that, you know, I loved to pieces, but I was freaked out at the same time. Like, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, this thing is depending on me for survival. And I dislocated my tailbone when I gave birth. So sitting, standing, walking, everything hurt. And so it was chronic pain that I had never experienced before either. And it was like, how do you deal with your own issues and yet realize that, you know, your colicky child is, they don't know what's going on, you know? So how do you handle your own demons and yet realize that you have to care for someone else? And I was the only one here. and I was snowed in Minnesota. It was in February. So I was literally on my own. And so I felt, you know, the walls close in a way. And so I just really had to ground myself knowing who I was, what I was all about, and why I was here and why I chose to be home. I chose to quit my job, not because I hated my job, but I quit my job so that I could raise my son because I felt it was important. It wasn't a priority to me and my husband that a parent be there to raise our child versus a daycare. And that was a priority for me. Maybe that's not a priority for you. That's totally fine. But for me, I had to recall, why am I in this place? Why did I make these choices? Because all of our lives are related to the choices that we make. The choices that we make lead to the results that we will receive, right? Whether that's life, business, anywhere in between. And so I was feeling depressed, but I was like, but I chose this. So did I choose depression? Or like, and so I had to get through that. And it was ugly for a little while. It really was. But the number one thing that got me back to being me, being Justine, was trying to remember what made me happy, what made me excited. And I'll have to tell you, Trey, the number one time that I found my heart just overflowing with joy was when I actually was volunteering at a dental convention for people that couldn't afford dental care. People lined up days ahead of time to have care taken care of. They were, you know, they had swollen teeth. They were, you know, had teeth falling out. Like literally they were in so much pain. And everyone that showed up was not paid. They were volunteers. They were there because they wanted to be there. And we were all dental professionals. So there was this camaraderie. There was just this like wanting to impact the lives of these people that needed help. And my heart was just overflowing because I was there out of my own free will. And I was doing it because I could. And so when I was like, how can I take that into a business and do it because I want to impact the world, change people's lives because I want to. Now, as a business, yes, there has to be some sort of money transaction. Otherwise, it's a hobby, right? But I was like, how can I take that same passion and that impact into a virtual world where there's just screens and create that relationship that I had face-to-face with my clients or patients at that time as in the dentistry profession, and have that with clients and business. And I was like, there's got to be a way. And so that was kind of my fuel that got me out of like that funk of like, oh, woe is me, stuck in me. I realized that what filled my cup up was helping other people. And so that same joy that I was seeking was going to overflow my cup, but I had to initially get that in there. Otherwise I was going to have an empty cup. And so you can't pour from an empty cup. You're not going to get anything. So I was like, you know what? The internet is powerful. I don't know how it's going to work, but that's where starting saved me. And starting is hard. They say like 90% of the fuel is used when you're trying to launch something, right? You know, trying to get into outer space. But by starting, it opened the doors to so many opportunities, and the doors are still opening. And I think that's so true as an entrepreneur. And I'm sure you can speak to that. You know, where the first door you open is never going to be your last door. And if it is, then you're not growing as an entrepreneur because you're not in the same place you started. And there's, you know, you've been in this game even a little bit longer than I have. And so it's one of those things, you know, if you open one door, usually there's two or three ahead of you. So then you have to choose the next door. And that's where for me, it was always, what's my next best step? And some of the depression came from the fact that my husband is not entrepreneur, mindset based at all. He's just not, he's not an entrepreneur, and that's okay. But it really challenged me to do my self-research and be like, you know, this is what I'm looking to do. This is how I'm looking to do it, and this is how it can help our family. So to create that linked vision. And so I've had a lot of clients that have been like, how do you take being an entrepreneur into being in a relationship? Like, that's just so hard when you're not on the same page. And so it was such a growth process, out of depression, to strengthen not only my personal relationship with myself, but also with my husband, because I had to be, you know, transparent and very open with him about what my vision was and how I wanted to impact the world, not because that's what he wanted to do, but what I was going to do was going to impact his life as well. And so it's just been such a journey, but that start, that first step, Trey, I think it's the thing that saved me from depression, because I knew that there was something more I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but it took that first step to start. And that's what really got me out of the depression sense. And there's always going to be anxiety over something new. So I know I've had that a couple of times where it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm actually ready to be a coach. Am I actually ready to step into this? You know, but you're never, ever going to be perfectly ready either. And as a recovering perfectionist, it's really hard when things are just like not perfect, but that's where just knowing the next step is just, you take the next step and that's where it leaves depression and anxiety behind. So even just breaking it down, simply being like, what's the next step? That'll overcome depression and anxiety and really just that overthinking complex that I think all humans innately have. We always have to overthink things, especially if it's a fear that we have, you know, something that's false, you know, that appears real, or however that saying goes, right? And I just think that taking that first step is really the number one thing, or that next best step. As long as you keep moving, that progress is going to help you build towards the vision that you're looking to achieve.
Absolutely. That's beautiful, honestly. And really, most people don't get started, and too many people need to hear this. So I do want to touch on the relationship with your husband and bringing the entrepreneurship into that. Like, how did you go about that? I imagine there was a lot of communication, but how do you do that?
So I personally think, and what I've told my clients before too, every couple has a different means of communication, right? So the number one thing that I learned, with my husband, with him working away from home, I would like to have all these conversations in the week when it was happening and like right on time when everything was going on. It was really hard for him to have those conversations when he wasn't with me. And number one, up north, there's terrible reception. So he only heard like every other word, of course. So he's like, what are you even talking about, babe? I don't even get. So I had to learn to save a lot of those conversations for the weekends, when we could be home and we could talk together and actually be face to face. And you have to learn some of those things for each other, you know, based on what your relationship is. If your husband's home every night, then you can have those conversations. Or if he's the entrepreneur and he's trying to convince his wife, maybe it's going to be a different dynamic. But the number one thing is to know how you both best communicate. And most often it might be hardest, but it's going to be best to do it in person. Face to face. It's not going to be best on the phone. Do not do it over text or email. And the number one thing is to always come back to the fact that if it's something that's a dream of yours, sharing the fact that it's a dream and being honest and transparent, like if they don't see it, it may just be that it's not their dream. Like my husband and I are so different. He is not a people person whatsoever. He could care less if he was in the middle of Montana and never saw another human being again. Like that's who my husband is. That's not who I am at all. And so just knowing that your dreams may be different, but especially as a couple, I believe it's important to find a compromise in those dreams, building a future together in a way that honors both of your visions, talents, and gifts. And so that was something for me, working from home was a must because we have a child and I was not making what he was making. So out of the two of us that was going to be home, it was definitely going to be me. And so to have that nurturing opportunity for a son, that was a must. So I had to look at what are my options. Well, it looks like the internet is an option. How can I make that work for me? And so to do my homework and come and present that to him and be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I imagine. This is what I envision. What do you think about this? For him, he's like, is that even a thing? You actually coach? Like there's coaches out there. Like he didn't know anything that I knew. I had done all this research and had all this time to learn and digest all this stuff. And he's like, huh? Like what's a podcast? Like people actually listen to people talk. And so it was one of those things where I had spent all this time and been like so excited and digesting all this stuff. And he's like, not even there. And so to get him up to speed and be like, okay, so this is what I've learned. This is what I see. This is what I want to do. And this is how I can do it. That was a huge stepping stone for us. And really it's come with time. It does take time and it takes a lot of love because when somebody doesn't necessarily share the same dream, for him, he's like, why would you want to spend your time doing that? Like, I don't understand. He doesn't understand that. And so I think the biggest turning point for us was acknowledging the fact that we both had different dreams, but realizing how we could bring those dreams together, honoring both his gifts and talents, my gifts and talents, and still build a business that honored our family priorities and our goals for our family's future. And so for any couple out there that's struggling to discern that between, you know, whether the husband's the entrepreneur or the wife's the entrepreneur, or maybe both are entrepreneurs, you have to bring the visions together. So I created a vision board. So I'm one of those visual people too. So I created a vision board that had all of his dreams on one side and then all of my dreams that complemented it, and being like, we can have both. They don't have to be either or, but we can have both in unison and put it side by side versus this or this. We can actually do this together. And so that was probably the biggest turning point for me. And he's a very visual person. So having that and being like, okay, so this is the goal. This is, you know, maybe a financial goal that we're trying to reach, and realizing that we were shooting to do this together and being a team. You gotta be a team. You know, if you're both pulling north and south, you're never gonna get there. But if you can both pull together and pull forward and always be shooting to progress, that's where the magic happens. And that's where you strengthen your relationship. And that's what happened for me. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of time, took a lot of love, but it's something that I wouldn't trade for the world. And it made us so much stronger. And so some people are like, you know, being an entrepreneur ruined my relationship. I don't think that it happened right then. I don't think, in my personal opinion, as a coach and as somebody that's worked through it personally, there was a disconnect somewhere. It shouldn't cost a relationship. It has to come down to honoring the dreams of that other person and figuring out how you can complement and have both together, not either or. So that's just my personal opinion, but it's based off of personal experience. So I'm not preaching something that I haven't done, which I think is super important for coaches. You can't, it's hard to coach somebody on something you've never done before, right? So that was definitely a huge turning point for me, for us. But something that has only made us stronger as well.
That's awesome.
You know, so I feel like all these lessons that, you know, initially you don't understand, they actually serve you so much better. So if you're going through a lesson period, hang in there. It's going to serve you sometime, I promise.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. So where do you find your confidence?
Where do I find my confidence? Oh, that's such a good question. I'm a very faith-driven person. I believe that God put me on the earth for a reason. And I guess that's probably the number one thing that has driven me to be relentless. I'm very stubborn. So half of my confidence, I think, is close in stubbornness. For instance, some of the questions my husband has asked in the past to be like, how long are you going to be in this game before you're like, hey, it's not going to work or it's not worth it? I'm like, oh, it's always going to be worth it. And he's like, how can you say that? And I'm like, because I'm betting on me. I don't have to bet on anybody else. I know I'm not going to give up. And I love what I do. So I'm confident I'm never going to give up because it's me. I'm making that bet. I'm taking that chance on who I am and the character that I am. And so when it comes from confidence, I think the other thing is experience. Being willing to try things, being willing to fail at things and to initially not be great at it, and learn and look at it as a learning opportunity versus a failure. I think that's really changed my outlook, because at anything that I haven't succeeded at initially, I've learned from. And, you know, even like these life lessons that we were just talking about, I'm more confident when I talk to people about it now because I've had that experience. I've overcome that. I was not victim to that. I was victor to that. And when you're able to look at it from that mindset of growth and learning, there's no limit to who you can become. And I honestly believe that God doesn't create us to be small. He doesn't create us to be ordinary. I believe every human being was made unique so we could be extraordinary. And there's not one person on this world that can do what I can do, which makes me all powerful, which makes you all powerful, which makes everyone absolutely priceless. And so for me to encourage that same kind of that passion, that drive and confidence even, I think that that's just so important. And it's not out there, Trey. It's not. And I don't know why it isn't. I don't know why people fear failure. I guess, you know, and maybe it's innately, you know, started as a child when, you know, maybe you didn't get good grades, or maybe you were that troubled child that your parents were worried about. You know, I don't know. But for me, it's one of those things that I did good in school. You know, I was, I loved my music. I worked hard at everything I did. But if I ever failed, I guess it maybe it was just part of my innate mentality to be like, well, I'm going to do better next time and I'm going to win. And that's a stubborn side of me. But I think it's served in a different way now that I'm obviously, hopefully, a little more mature. It's driven me to grow. And that's where taking action, taking that next best step, whether it's the right one, the wrong one, I don't know, but taking the next best step every single time, every day, that creates confidence because you're taking action. And so when people are like, what have you been up to? Are you kidding? I've been doing this. I've been making this advancement. I've been doing this. That creates confidence. Whereas if you're not doing anything, when somebody asks you that question, be like, so what's going on in your business? Oh, not much. Just kind of working on stuff. You know, I mean, it totally changes your mentality. And I think the biggest thing it comes down to, Trey, is your mindset. At the very core of every individual, it comes down to your mindset. And I don't remember where I read it. I think it was a book. Maybe it was a video. I'm not sure. Way too many self-development stuff, right? But it was talking about, why is the lion the king of the jungle? The lion is not the fastest. The lion is not the strongest. The lion is not even the smartest. It's the way the lion carries himself. It's their mindset. It's their mentality. And so if you carry yourself, not to be arrogant, I'm not saying to be the proudest person in the world, but to carry yourself with confidence and humility, I mean, that makes just rapport come pouring out of you. That helps not only build your life, but your business, and builds you as an individual that is almost irresistible, because people flock to confidence. And even if that's confidence in being like, you know what, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to find a way to do this. That's confidence in and of itself, that you don't have the answer, but you're going to find it. Or you're going to find the person like calling Trey and being like, Trey, how the heck do you do this? And knowing that you're going to figure that out for whoever that individual was, and not stopping until you have that answer. So I think confidence is something that is within us, but I think it has to be developed. And it's developed by what we choose in life. And so everything boils down to our choices and our mindset. And if you choose one way or another, you make your bed, you sleep in it. It's one of those things. So you can't blame that anybody else. Oh, someone stole my confidence. That's not true. You let them walk away with it. You know, it's just one of those things where you could blame everybody, but at the end of the day, the only person that's responsible for you is you. And when I realized that, I feel like that's when my whole life changed. When I realized I was responsible for my happiness, like I talked about earlier. Well, how am I going to make myself happy? How am I going to get back to being me? And I wanted to be confident. I wanted to be that person, because that's not necessarily who I've always been. And I realized that by believing in myself, believing in who I believed God created me to be, and innately growing from there, whether I failed or had to learn along the way, what could stop me? What could stop you? There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing that can stop you or me or anyone else. If you're able to just take that next step in confidence, knowing that if you're going to win, great, or if you're going to learn, great. And being able just to take it regardless, and live with whatever the results of your choices are, and just realize that you're creating your future and you're going to rock and roll from there.
Yeah. I'm definitely a big believer that the only thing that's actually more powerful than you is you.
I agree. That just like makes chills go through my bones. Even just as you said that was just like, oh, that's so good. So good.
So what are the foundations, in your opinion, that make for a thriving business?
Ooh, foundations for a thriving business. Number one, you have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then how are you to share your brand with other people? You are your brand. And for so many people, you know, you're in the branding space, you're very familiar with all of this. So I love all your thoughts and opinions on this as well. But if you don't know who you are, it's hard to define your brand. Your brand is going to be based off of not only your priorities and what you stand for, but what you're passionate about. And typically that's what you're going to be pursuing. So I believe knowing who you are is a huge foundation and vital for a thriving business. Knowing your why to get you through the hard times and understanding, you know, in the times of confusion or lacking of clarity, understanding why you started what you're doing and recalling the mission that ignited your flame to initiate this calling or this mission. That's super important as well. And I honestly got to say systems. Systems are probably, I mean, as important as the other two are, it's systems are just king in a business. If you don't have proper systems that can often take from the top to the bottom, the different tasks, delegations, and requirements that are necessary to run the business in a scalable, profitable fashion, you're not going to get anywhere. And to be a solo entrepreneur, yes, that's fine for a time, but ultimately you want to scale your business. In order to do that, you have to have the systems in place that will allow for that so that you can pull away as the CEO and instead of working in your business, start working on your business to create that thriving atmosphere. So I think systems is probably one of the best ones. And then I personally believe this to be core and foundational. Is actually really caring about your team. If you are removing yourself from the business as the entrepreneur CEO and trying to live more of that freedom lifestyle that is often preached about and like desired by everybody because it's wonderful, you have to love on your team like nobody's business. And the reason that I say that is because number one, they're not going to care about the business as much as you are because it's not technically their business. But if you can inspire them to believe in the brand and the mission and the whole being of the business as much as you do, you're never going to have to look for other workers because they are going to be totally ingrained in everything that you're a part of. But that energy and that vibrancy comes from you. It has to be already within you to go to those other people. You can't give something you don't have. So if you don't believe in your business like 1,000,000%, how are they as your customer service, as your sales rep, as your representative, like or your affiliate? None of them are going to have that same energy if you don't have it in the first place. So I think that's super important. And then probably the last point, love on your clients. They've already bought into you. You don't have to sell them. They already bought into you. So to over-deliver and like over-deliver all the time to those people and make sure that they are just feeling served, understood, and they're feeling respected as they're investing in your business, I think that that's just, it's a winner because that's going to create referrals. That's going to be better retention and all sorts of things to create that thriving atmosphere. So those 5 points I would say are my best tips for any thriving foundation business.
That's awesome. So before we got on this call, we talked a little bit about how you were sick over the last couple of weeks. What did you learn going through that?
Oh, yes. No, so I, for those that didn't know or haven't seen my page, I was super sick with a kidney infection, actually. So I was hospitalized for several days, and I had a very scary high fever. By the grace of God, I'm here. I shouldn't be here by rights, but I'm very grateful for people that were praying and supporting me from, you know, on the screen and in person. I was just so blessed. I have to say the number one thing that it taught me was the absolute necessity for gratitude in life and business, Trey. You know, I take so much for granted. I have had really good health, all things considered. I have not had issues with my body. I have working arms, working legs, working eyes. I can talk. I can hear. I can walk, I can do all these things. And after my high fever, I couldn't walk. I mean, that's something I've never thought about before, but I actually couldn't walk for a couple of hours one of those days. And I had to get that all back for whatever reason. That was something that was a struggle for me. So gratitude was a huge part, but I also found myself thinking about my business as I'm laying there feverish and delirious. And I realized so many of things that I was stressing over that I could be doing in my business or was doing in my business that I didn't need to be doing. I started almost like writing a not to do list in my head. Like, I don't need to be focusing on this. I need to just get back to the basics of caring for my clients and focusing on my clients and over delivering to those people. And that's where even that tip that I gave you, that was something that I found in myself as I'm laying there and being like, how can I move forward as I'm laying in the hospital, and lifting my phone was a weight. I was just like, man, I don't remember a phone weighing this darn much, you know, something stupid like that. But then realizing, like, some people don't even get to, they can't even read their phone, you know, they're blind or things like that. So it just poured over me the fact that I was living, breathing. I had to be on oxygen for a little while. Like, it's something that I've never experienced as a 23-year-old. Like, that's, I've never had issues like that. So it was just such a very humbling. I couldn't wash my hair. I couldn't do some of those stupid, like, I was just humbled beyond belief. And I'm so grateful for that, because it brought me back to just human empathy and just being appreciative of where I'm at in my life and who I've become because of the journey I've been on, but also realizing that I have to be that person for other people. And it comes back to having that same empathy for your clients, for your coworkers, for friends. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. So no, it was a hugely impactful, very emotional time. I had to leave my son with family. I've never been away from my son for even a night. So it was one of those things. I went from completely having him to all of a sudden being gone for 5 days in the hospital. And I've never had that happen before. So it was a hugely transformational letting go and letting God take care of me and letting God just take hold of my life. And I was at his mercy, truly, because there was absolutely nothing I could do. I literally could do nothing. But I was blessed with wonderful providers, wonderful nurses, and people that cared for me. My husband was ultimately supportive. I could not be more grateful, but I still was at the mercy of something that I couldn't control. And so it comes down to realizing what you have control over and what you don't, and realizing that what you don't have control over, can't worry about. And it's not worth having anxiety about. It's not worth being depressed about, because it's that part won't serve you. It's not. So letting go and letting God take care of you. And I think that was probably the most freeing thing for me, remembering that gratitude and being grateful, and realizing what I don't need to be focused on, don't need to be worried about, and just letting God take care of the things that I can't control. That was probably the most impactful reminder that hit me while I was in the hospital for those 5 days.
That's beautiful.
It was a huge learning experience. God is a very mysterious way of helping you learn some lessons sometimes, but his way is the best way. So I'm just very grateful to be here.
Absolutely. I'm very grateful that you're here as well. There's a lot of people you need to show up for.
I don't take that lightly either. If I'm here, there's probably a reason why I'm here. So I gotta get back in the groove too. So it's been wonderful to, I feel so much better as I'm healing. So it's just been a huge comeback. I feel like it's almost like a rebirth in a way. That he really wants me to show up, 1,000%, not 100%.
Absolutely. So if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself before you ever went out on your own, what would you make sure that you knew and understood?
That is such a good question. I think the number one thing that I would tell myself is to have patience. I think our generation, of millennials, is very used to instant gratification. And I think the number one thing that we're not used to having or using is experience, but that comes with time, and understanding that the joy is in the process, not the result. When I initially started, I was like, you know what? This person made 100K in 2 months. Why the heck can't I do that? That comparison game was killing me, absolutely killing me. And it looks perfect on Instagram. It looks perfect on Facebook. But maybe they didn't tell you they spent 90K to get that 100K. I don't know. I don't have any of that information. That's not something they disclose. That's not necessarily my business. But getting hung up on other people's results and not realizing that the process is really the thing to fall in love with, and realizing that the patience to enjoy that journey and process, really that adventure that we call life, that's where everything happens. And that's where the transformation in who you are and who you can become takes place. So if I could go back, I would tell myself that like a million times over, just to drill it in my head, because I still have to drill it in my head now, because I still look at the perfect views, and it's very easy to get caught up in, well, how on earth they did that. But then you have to look back and be like, well, they've been in this race for 8 years. I'm working on a year, you know? So it's one of those things where I found myself tripping up a lot, looking at everyone else and expecting to see results, but not actually necessarily knowing what it costs for them to get those results. And so I feel like there's a whole lot of scams you can get out on the internet, and I'm sure you've seen a million too. And so if I could tell myself one thing, it would be to be patient with the process and realize that falling in love with the process and just, I mean, enjoying the process truly, that's where the transformation takes place.
Absolutely. And there is way too much. And I think it's kind of encouraged by a lot of the people who are selling the courses and doing like, you can make six figures in 30 days, 90 days. You can make a million in this amount of time. And
but they don't tell you that you spend over $500,000 to get there. Like, it's only half the truth. And that's where I value authenticity, transparency, honesty. Like,
absolutely,
those are all huge words in my brand. Some people say they're overused. I don't care. But those are core values in my brand. And since they're a part of me, they're a part of my brand, right? And so it's one of those things where, like, if someone's going to ask me what my coaching business looks like, I'm going to be like, look, I don't want your money if you're not the right client for me. I'm just going to tell you straight out, I'm picky about my clients. Because if I can't create results for you, why would I take your money? That's just not who I am. I want a success story because I want to see you be successful. If I can't make you be successful, I'm gonna connect you to somebody else that either has the skills, has the experience, or has the know-how to create the results that you're seeking. And if that's to make a million, but spend $500,000 to get there, then I'm going to send you to that person, but that's not me. And so I'm totally, but that takes being okay with yourself too, and not settling for just any client, knowing who you are, what you're about, and who you want to serve, so that you can provide and create those results or help them create the results. Because truly, as a coach, for me, I'm not really creating those results. It's the individual that's doing that inner work that's creating results for themselves. So I don't guarantee anything in that sense. I guarantee that I will show up. I will be present. Excuse me. But I don't guarantee the results, because if you don't do the work, I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink.
Absolutely.
So that's my mentality about coaching. Some people may do it different, but that's who I am. So I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Absolutely. So what's the best way for people to find you and to see more of you?
Oh, absolutely. So I am present on all of the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, because Gary Vee said so. And you can find me at Justine Mader HQ. I also have a free Facebook group there. I spend a lot of time and dedicate a lot of my extra material to. And I'm usually around somewhere. If Trey's around, you'll probably see me around there too. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, Trey, it's been such an honor. I've so enjoyed getting to know you, and your tribe is fantastic. So thank you so much for interviewing me on your podcast.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.